Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. So we're kind of been tracking through this series called Life 101. We started a long, long time ago. I truthfully forgot. Okay, it's been a couple months now. We've been working through this thing. We're on part six of it. And what we've been doing for these six parts is we've been looking at something Jesus said a few thousand years ago. He got some crowds with him to go up on a mountain. He got his 12 disciples, people who said, yeah, we believe in you, to go up on a mountain. And Jesus stood up there and he started talking. And they started listening, and Matthew, a man who was there who heard what he had to say, years later wrote it down for us. So we're reading the words of Jesus heard by Matthew. Matthew, a tax collector. Matthew, hated by everyone. Matthew told, you're no good. Matthew told by Jesus, yes, you are. Come and follow me. Matthew writes down what we are reading today. And even though it was spoken thousands of years ago, it is still going to make a difference in our lives June 3rd, 2018. So you're caught up. This is the theme of it. How to live the life you want to live. You have a way to live your life. There's something that woke you up this morning. There's something that will wake you up tomorrow. There's something that will wake you up on Wednesday when you're waiting for Saturday. And that something is coffee. Amen? Right? There's something that gets us. I just got a Ninja coffee bar. It's waiting for me at home. I cannot wait to make some cappuccinos. And so there's something that gets us up in the morning. And what that is, it's your purpose. It's your reason. It's how you live your life. For some of you, it involves relationships. For some of us, it's our job. For some of us, it's retirement. It's children or grandchildren or the hopes of those things. Whatever it looks like for you, you have those things that wake you up each day. And so what we've been doing is we're considering, well, how would Jesus call us to live our lives? If we take our cue from culture, we take our cue from experience and from friends and from education, what if we allowed what Jesus had to say, although it was written thousands of years ago, we allowed it to impact how we live our lives today? Because something we strongly believe here is that every person in this world was made in the image of God. You, no matter what someone has said about you, no matter what you believe about you, you are made in the image of God. You're not an accident. You're not here by chance. This isn't just kind of a, I don't know my purpose. No, here's your purpose. You are made by God. God loves you. God knows you. And so we figure, why not let the one who made us speak into how we live our lives and consider what Jesus has to say? So we've been doing that for 5 weeks now, and this is our sixth week doing it. We're going to consider another thing that Jesus has to teach us on how to live the lives we want to live. Now, I have a favorite store, and you all know, if you've been coming, what my favorite store is. I've been told I talk too much about this store, and it comes up every week, and I don't really care. It's Costco. Okay, you know that. I love Costco. God gave us Costco for a reason. And so I'm going to keep talking about Costco. So here's why. If you're ever on Jeopardy and you get asked, like, what is it that Keith loves about Costco? Here's what you need to know about Costco. Here's why I love it. I love Costco first for the free samples. Can I get a witness? Come on. There's nothing like getting free lunch. So I'll usually around 12 o'clock go over to Costco and I'll say hi to all my friends. They're the employees of Costco. They know me well. First name basis, go over, see what they're serving. The taquitos are good and the chicken and all that, and go through. And free samples are amazing. I also love the sales at Costco. I'm a sucker for the end cap, okay? I go in there with a list of three things, and then there's things on sale at the end cap. And I figured at some point in life we could use this. Maybe not now, but at some point, and it's on sale, so why not buy it now just in case the world ends? At least I know I'll have it. And so I love the sales at Costco, but most of all, I love the people at Costco. Do you know what people watching is? The awkward laughter. That means you know exactly what it is. But let me read the definition. This is in the dictionary, people watching. The action or practice of spending time idly observing people in a public space. I love people watching. It is funny. It is fun. It is amusing. It is great. I love watching people, and you do too. There's something about looking at the people that are around you. Now, what often happens when we start people watching is we start to cross over this line where it goes from just observing and considering and people watching to this word we don't like to use a lot, judging. Come on, the word judging. I'm going to use the word a lot today, judging a lot today. And it's going to keep hurting every time I use it. It's going to feel like a little twist in here. But hopefully by the end, I'm like, okay, I'm okay with this word. Because we don't like the word judging. Because when you're told you're judging, you immediately say, I'm not judging, I'm just saying. That's the go-to phrase. Typically, when you say, I'm not judging, I'm just saying, you're actually judging. And I'm not judging you about that. It's just the truth. So here's what I find to happen. The way I judge at Costco is I like to compare what's in my cart to what's in your cart. Right? Come on. It's so great to compare what you have in your cart for many reasons. The first is I might not have known that that thing in your cart exists in said establishment. And so I will now ask you, where did you find that and how much was it? And I need to go get it. And this is how I interact with people at Costco. It happens all the time. Where did you find that? Where did you get that? Right? Tell me right now. Thank you. And I start running down the aisles. It's a good way to live our lives. We look at what's in other people's carts, and that's a good thing. We get inspired by what's in people's carts. But then there are those times where we look in people's carts and we start to say, wow, I wish I could afford that. Wow, I wish I could have the liberty to buy all those things. And we start feeling a little bit of kind of like self-defeating. Self-deflating in that moment. Why doesn't my cart look as full as that person's? Or we go on the other side and say, wow, that person has no self-control. I'm glad I'm not like that person. I came here for 3 things. I only left with 20. They're leaving with 100. They have no self-control. Look at their cart. Wow, I'm so glad my cart doesn't look like theirs. And it is so easy to do this. And if you're drawn off of the story and the analogy here, it's not just Costco carts that we do that with. This is how we can navigate our lives. This is a way, might not be the best way, but it is a way to live our lives, that we go around bumping carts with the people around us, and we compare. What do you have that I don't? Well, I'm glad I don't have that. I wish I had that. And we live our lives driving around with our carts, our life carts, and we look at the experiences of others. And sometimes it makes us feel really good. Like if I can pick out the mistake you made, the purchase you made, the relationship you entered into, the decision, the words, whatever it was, if I can look at that and feel better about me, well, that's good. Sometimes I'll look at that and I'll feel worse about me. And all the while, what we're doing is we are trying to get what we most want out of life. And an easy way to get what you want out of life is to look at what the people around you have or don't have. And what we can do is we start looking at other people's carts and we start judging them. And the reason why we judge is we can then justify what's in our carts. We justify ourselves by judging others. So I'll justify this purchase because you made it. And I'll justify this decision because you made it. Or I'll justify, say, well, I'm not as bad. And we say things like, can you believe what she said? Did you see what they posted? Did you see what they posted? I would never post that. I would never say that. I would never go there. How are they doing that? And we say these things in casual conversation, and what it reveals about us, what it really reveals, is that we are looking in another person's cart, we're judging them. Why? Because there are things that we want out of life. There are things today that you want. There are things that I want. And let me say, they're probably not bad things. Right? We wouldn't call them bad things. We wouldn't throw them on the bad column. I want my marriage to be healthy. I want my children to grow up and make an impact in this world. I want our church to keep reaching people in the community. I want to drink coffee every day. I want to keep going to Costco. These are the things that I want to do in life, and they may not be wrong. And in fact, I don't think that they are wrong. So we're not going to talk about the stuff today in the cart. We're not going to talk about the experiences. We're not going to talk about the relationships or the financial freedom or breakthrough or hopes that you have in those areas. What I want us to consider, and what I think Jesus calls us to consider, is how are you getting what you want? Specifically, on a horizontal plane, the people around you, how are you using those people? What are you doing with those people? What are you doing with your boss? What are you doing with your spouse or your friends or your family members or strangers or whoever it is? What do you do with those people? How do they help you get what you want? Because you want things today, and I want things today. And we live in a world with other people, okay? You know that, right? There's other people in this world. And so inevitably, you're going to bump carts with another person. Well, what do you do in that moment? Because you want to get stuff in your cart, and I want stuff in my cart.
But how does that happen? So Jesus gets up on this mountain, as I said. He gathers the crowds with him. He gathers his disciples, those who believe in him. And he begins speaking to them about how to live their lives. And we've been working through this, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6. And today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read a few verses together. So Jesus stands up, and in the context of judgment, in the context of getting what we want, Jesus shows us another way. And he says this, Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. There are some things in the Bible that are hard and confusing. I don't know that this statement makes it into that category. There are some things where it's like, okay, what does it mean in Greek? And where's the commentary? And how can I understand this? Jesus gets up, he's just like, look, just don't judge. Don't judge. And he goes on to explain it. He says in the next statement, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here's an obvious truth. When you start judging the people around you, you start losing the people around you. You know that's true. When you start looking at their cart and you start comparing what's in your cart to their cart, and how could they and how come I can? I would never, and look at them. When you start doing that, Jesus is saying, the same way you judge others, it's going to come right back on you. Because now you judge them, and now they're judging you for judging them, and now you're judging them for judging you for judging them. Next thing you know, you got no friends. Okay, so this is just a friends lesson today. I want you to have friends. Jesus says, don't judge the people around you. The same way that you're doing it, it's just going to keep coming back to you. But it's so hard to not judge others. Come on, it's so hard to go through Costco and not look in a cart. It's so hard to go on social media and see they're going on a vacation, and they bought that, and wow, look at what they said. I mean, we got to pray for them. They need Jesus. They need him bad. We say these things, and all the while we're looking in other carts, and Jesus is saying, no, there's a better way for you to get what you want. I know you want things, he's saying, but there's a better way than judging the people around you. And I love, as Jesus preaches this message, he keeps giving us illustrations to understand it. So he gives us this one. This is good. He says in verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? And so Jesus uses this image here. He's saying, just imagine that there's like this sawdust in your brother's eye. There's this sawdust in your coworker's eye and in whoever's eye. And you're so intent on picking that piece of dust out of their eye. And Jesus says, you don't notice you've got like a great oak growing out of your head. Just let that image sink in for a minute. Right? So you've got this tree in your eye. You've got this log in your eye. And yet you are so bent on making sure you point out the dust that's in theirs. And what's interesting is Jesus uses this metaphor. He's also using hyperbole, meaning he's exaggerating part of it because he wants to show, look, you're looking at a dust speck. You've got this log. And his audience would have laughed when they heard that, but it would have also provoked some thought. So Jesus, what are you trying to say there? And here's what he's doing by putting the log in your eye and the dust in theirs. He's saying you're way worse than you'd ever admit about yourself. Your issues are way bigger than theirs. It's just easier. It's just normal. It just feels better to look past your own big issues and try and pick out of that person's cart. It's way easier to do that. And to quote Andy Stanley, Jesus is saying, you've got to yank the plank. You've got to yank the plank. You are so fixed on judging other people. You are so fixed on making sure you get your tweezers out. I just got to grab that piece of dust out of your eye so you can see you're all good now. Have a good day. It's just, no, yank the plank. You focus on what you've got going on in your own cart. You focus on what's going on in here. You start there. You want to get what you want in life. It doesn't begin with you looking out. That's what Jesus is doing. He's shutting down our horizontal vision. He's saying, hold on, stop looking out there. In fact, why don't you just start looking in here for a second? Look at your plank. You got to do some work on that. You got to remove that. And then if you can get it removed, start working on the dust specks in the other people's lives. The reality is we're constantly working on removing planks in our own lives. And so Jesus is calling us. He's saying, you want to get what you want. You want to live different. You want to live your best life. It begins with you shutting down the horizontal vision. Start looking in here. And then Jesus gives us another metaphor that just makes no sense. Look at what he says next in verse 6. He says, do not give dogs what is holy. And where am I? Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Okay. This is where I'm like, Jesus, come on, man. Just stay with us here. Like, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're judged not. And I can get into the yank the plank thing. But where are you going with the dogs and the pigs? Okay, what is he doing here? So I have to give you some context to the culture that Jesus is speaking to. When Jesus speaks to this culture and he isolates and pulls out these two specific animals for image and metaphor reasons, he's not talking about the dogs that you own in your house right now, okay? You love your dog. I love your dog. I sneeze around your dog, so keep your dog away from me. But I love that you love your dog. It's all good. Jesus does not hate your dog, okay? Keep your dog. And if you have a pig, keep your pig too. But what Jesus is saying here is he's got these two animals that his first century audience knew as unclean animals. Okay, so in the Jewish tradition, there was a list of animals that were considered clean, both for dietary reasons and for touching reasons, like pets. And there was a list of, hey, don't be around these animals. They're just dirtier. And so in this culture, Jesus says dogs and pigs, and the audience knows he's talking about unclean places. He's talking about unclean things. It's metaphor. So what does that mean for us in the context of judging? There's a lot of places in our life that we look to. There's a lot of carts in our life that we look to that Jesus would say, that is not the cart that you should be comparing yourself with. You should not be looking over in that cart. They're having a good time. Don't worry about it. That's just loud screams of happiness. That is not the cart that you look into. Jesus say, no, you don't need to look there. That's a pig cart. That's a dog cart. So you're comparing yourself. You're trying to get something out of that cart, but that cart is not designed to give you what you need in life. Let me give you some real practical examples. Some of you hate the fact that tomorrow's Monday because Monday means you go back to work and you don't like your job, and that's okay. But maybe the reason why you don't like your job is because you are looking to pull something out of that job is not supposed to give you. See, you're looking for your job to define your sense of worth and value and give you a sense of identity, but that's a pig cart, Jesus would say. Not your boss. No one called their boss a pig tomorrow. The church said you're a pig. No. Your job is not supposed to give you the sense of worth and value that God wants to give you. But instead, we look at the horizontal carts around us and we get frustrated with those carts, but those carts are not designed to meet those needs in our lives. It's a pig, it's a dog. Or a relationship. Well, if I could just find another person to complete me, then I would feel better about me. The problem is, when you take two broken individuals and bring them together, you don't get one fixed individual. We need Jesus, who fixes us, to work on us, work on him or work on her, and bring us together. You see the difference there? It's why we get frustrated with carts and with experiences and with moments and with whatever it is for you, but that cart is not supposed to give you those things. God wants to give you those things, and that's what Jesus is going to show us next. And so maybe the reason why you're so frustrated with the people in your life or the places or the job or the experiences or the financial status is because you're looking at it, you're trying to grab out of it, you're judging others. Well, how come their marriage? And how come their job? And how come their bank account? How come their health? But Jesus is saying, stop looking horizontally. Stop judging others. That's not the best way for you to live your life. And instead, he gives us this other way to live. And look at what he says next in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's using this language for us to create a picture. Instead of you looking horizontally, what if you started to look vertically for what you're looking for in life? You've got these things you want. You've got these experiences you want. You've got these hopes and dreams and passions. And I believe that God placed those in your heart. God created you in his image. And so you want these things not because you're wrong or because they're wrong. No, God put those things in your heart. He gave you the desires of your heart. But because he gave them to you, he's the one who can fulfill it. So instead of looking horizontally for what you want in life, Jesus says, what if you start asking the Father? What if you start seeking him? And he used this image of knocking. Knocking, why? Because it's persistent. It's, God, I really want to feel loved. I want to feel accepted. I want to feel approved of. Well, if you keep looking horizontally, you're not going to get the best version of that love and acceptance and approval. But if you'll look vertically and allow God to fulfill that love and acceptance and approval in your heart, then you can start enjoying what's going on horizontally. And Jesus now uses another image. He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, he'll give him a serpent? So let me pause for a second here. Just kind of take a short rabbit trail. In 2 weeks is Father's Day. And I believe in our space that some of us here, we would say, you know what? If I asked my dad for a fish, he would throw a snake at me. Right? Come on. We know that. We didn't all grow up with dads that would give us fish or bread. In fact, for some of us, it's, I don't even know my dad. I never met him. He wasn't around in the picture. And so I want you to understand now, and this is hard. Don't apply the horizontal father experience you've had to a vertical father experience you can have. Do you understand that? Don't apply the fact that maybe your dad wasn't around in your life. Or yeah, your dad would throw a snake at you. He would throw stones at you verbally, physically, whatever it looked like. Don't put that on the father. I know that's hard. And it's why Jesus says what he says next. If you then who are evil, to which you would say, amen, my dad certainly is evil, Jesus. Thank you for pointing that out. He says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so look at what Jesus is doing for us. Look at what he's doing for you. We start our journey here and we say, I want things out of life. So let me start shopping around. Let me start looking horizontally. And Jesus says, no, don't judge others. Don't start comparing yourself. Just put the blinders up on that. Don't compare. Focus on you. Get that log issue going. Yank the plank. And then he begins pointing us up. He says, instead of asking the person or the experience or the job or the vacation or whatever these good things look like, instead of asking those things to fulfill you, ask the Father. Because the Father will give you good things. The Father will give you what you're asking for. And then Jesus makes this next statement, which I believe is the key to how you get what you want. So if you've got your list and I've got my list and I know what I want, I know what I want to feel, I know what I want to experience, here's what Jesus says you should do to get what you want. He says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. And he summarizes, remember, this is a Jewish audience, for this is the law and the prophets. He's speaking to a first century audience, and they have Genesis through Deuteronomy and the Psalms and Job and Hezekiah and all these different things that are going on, the kings and the prophets and the priests and all these guys. Jesus, let me summarize it. Do unto others what you want them to do to you. You might have heard this as the golden rule. And here's what Jesus is saying. This is how we get what we want. To get what you want, you have to do what you want. To get what you want, you have to do what you want. Now, that's not open license for autonomy and anarchy, okay? That's not what we're saying. I'm just going to do whatever and no rules. No, it's actually to get what you want. Okay, let's fill in the blank. I want love. Well, then you've got to do what you want, meaning I've got to start doing love. I've got to start showing love to people. I want to be accepted. I love to be accepted. Okay, you need to start accepting the people around you. I would really love to be recognized. Okay, why don't you recognize your coworker? I want to feel honored. Okay, honor your boss. Honor your spouse. Honor your coworker. Honor your friend. Honor that stranger. Honor the barista that just can't seem to get the order right. Honor them. Whoever it is in your life. Jesus says, do to others what you want them to do to you. So what do you most want in this life? Jesus would say, you start doing that to other people. What do you want to experience? What do you want to feel? The key to getting what you want is to do what you want to other people. See, what's interesting about what Jesus says, he's not the first person to bring up this idea. Okay, so it's not like Jesus just came up with do to others. But what is interesting is he's the one person to put it in a positive way. Because around his time when Jesus existed, other philosophers, other teachers of religion were saying things like, don't do to others or they're going to do it to you. They're putting it in a negative lens. Now, it almost seems like, well, isn't that the same thing? No, because think about it. It's easy for me to say, okay, I'm not going to make a bad comment about that person. It's harder for me to say, I'm going to go out of my way to make a positive comment about that person. And that's the path that Jesus says you're going to be on, should you follow him. It's easy for me to I'm just not going to post. I'm just going to unfriend him, block him. Won't have to see it anymore. We're done here. That's easy. Jesus says, what if you friend them and you honor them? Because you want to be honored, because you want to be loved, because you want to be respected. It's a way different way to live our lives. But this is how Jesus says you get what you want out of life. And Jesus knows it's harder because he finishes up this part of his message with one last analogy. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. Come on, everybody's pushing carts around and comparing and contrasting and judging. That's easy. That's an easy way to live. Everyone's just, I'll just unfriend you. I'll just block you. I just don't want to be around you. That's an easy way to live your life. That's an easy way to get what you want. Jesus says, but you know, that ends in destruction. You're going to enter financial destruction that way. You're going to enter, because how will that be destruction? Well, because I'm going to keep comparing myself with the Joneses and the people next door. I'm going to keep breaching into their cart. No, that's going to destroy you. Relational destruction, pushing people out of the picture. Jesus says, that's an easy way to do it. And he says, instead, the gate is narrow and the way is hard. This is a harder way to live our lives. The gate is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Now, I love that. And here's why. This is not an exclusive message because we believe all people can understand this road. We believe all people can walk through this gate. But the reality of what Jesus is saying is it's just so difficult that some get on the road and walk off. Some say, I don't even want to try that road. You today on June 3rd, these words that Matthew heard and wrote down for us that we're reading together, the songs that are pointing us to Jesus, there is opportunity and invitation for you to jump on that narrow road. And Jesus tells us up front. That's what I love. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat this or lie to us and say, just follow me, it'll be easier. He says, no, you follow me, it's going to get harder. It's going to be harder to live your life. It's going to be harder to go out of your way to compliment that person. But to get what you want, you got to do what you want. And you got to start yanking the plank. And this is how we move from judging to loving. And that's a different way to live our lives. So I can bump into your cart and I can love you that your cart looks the way it does. And I can celebrate with you. My cart may not look as full as yours, or my cart is more full and I don't have to judge you and feel better about me because of that. I can love you. And here's our biggest motivation for living this way. The gospel message, the good news that God has said, all of us sinful, broken humanity who judge each other and break God's law and hurt one another and try our best to gain however we have to, he says, you know that that leads to destruction, that leads to judgment. And yet the good news is that Jesus came to this world to be judged on our behalf. So process that. If God sent Jesus to this world to be judged for your sin so that in him you will not be judged, how in the world can we judge other people when God's not even judging us? Come on, think about how backwards and twisted that is. You have been spared of God's judgment because Jesus took your place on the cross and he took the place of the person you want to judge. And so we can't keep looking horizontally and saying, no, I'm going to judge you. And God's saying, but I didn't judge you. You want me to judge you? I mean, you're not judged. Why are you judging them? This is the good news of Jesus, that he came to this world and experienced the judgment and punishment that Keith deserved. And so now I can bump into your cart and I can look at your cart and I don't have to judge you. We're moving from judging to loving. It's a new way to live. It's how you really want to live. You know why? I know this is how you want to live, because this is how you want other people to treat you. We all want to be treated this way. You want to be loved. I want to be loved. You were created to be loved, both vertically and horizontally. Don't think you can go this alone, just me and Jesus, get my briefcase. No, that's a lie. You know why that's a lie? Because in the garden before there was sin, God looked at man who was isolated without horizontal love and said, this isn't good. That's exactly why. Go to Genesis chapter 2. God looks at that moment when it's Adam and Jesus. Woo! It can't get any closer than this. It's just me and Jesus. This is the best. And he says, no, this is not good. You need another person. And it's not just because he needed a woman, because we do, thank God. But he needed horizontal love. And so you're going to do something with the people around you. You're going to treat them a certain way, and they're going to treat you a certain way. And Jesus shows up on the scene and says, you know the best way you could live your life? You know how you could get the most out of your life? Do what you want. What do you want to get? Well, do it to them. What do you want to get? Do it to them. Yank the plank. Move from judging to loving. And so today I'm excited because as you hear this and as we consider this narrow path to walk on, This is what's going to keep changing our community, living this way. That yesterday we can see all these people come in and they can be loved and they could be hugged and they could be helped. And as people walk into this space, they can be loved and hugged and helped without judgment, without screening you and considering what's in your cart. And can you push that cart into church? I don't know. Leave your cart outside. No, we don't do that. You just bring your cart on in. And imagine you live that way at your job tomorrow. And you live that way in your home later. And you live that way at social media. That is how we change this world. That is how people begin to know that there is a Father in heaven that they can ask, seek, and knock. And today I want you to consider that narrow path. Our band's going to come up and we're going to sing a song called Great Are You, Lord, that declares the greatness of God, who he is, and how all the earth is singing his praises. But consider that. While we believe that all creation is singing the praises of God, let's make it personal. Are you singing his praises today? Are you finding your full satisfaction and your full worth by looking up or by looking out? If you're looking up, you're able to look out and move from judging to loving. But if you don't get that first part and you just start cart shopping and start looking around at the people around you, that is not how Jesus wants us to live our lives, and it's not how you want to live your life. And so I'm going to ask you to stand right now as our band gets ready to sing. I want us to reflect, and I want you to consider. Can you do this? Contextualize this, meaning bring it into your world's context. Who is it right now in your life that is most hardest to apply what Jesus said to? Maybe we read those verses for you. It's like, it's my dad. It's the guy that throws a serpent and a snake at me. It's my boss. It's my friends. It's people on social media. It's this group of people. Hey, it's those people. It's them that I don't want to love. Who is it? We all have it. We all have that person or group of people that if they were to walk in right now, part of your stomach would fall to your legs. Like, oh my gosh, grab my stomach. I feel weak right now. You have those people. We have those people. That if you were seated at their table for a party, you'd be like, I don't think I'm going to this party now. Make it real. Because Jesus says there's a better way for you to live your life than avoiding people and not doing what you don't want done. Instead, do what you do want done. But it is hard to do that. So I know for me, I've got to ask the Father to help me with this one. I have got to seek him. I've got to knock and say, God, you've got to help me because I can't do it. And so that's what we're going to do during this song. As we sing and as the lyrics are up here, you can sing this song with us, or maybe you're going to whisper to God. You're going to bring those people or that person to him and say, God, help me. Or I can't. It's the best prayer. Dear Jesus, I can't. Amen. Be real with him and allow him to start to change your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head in this moment so I can pray for you. Heavenly Father, every person in this space, I pray right now that we would depend on you. We cannot do this. This is a narrow road. There are few who find it. It is so much easier to judge and to shop around in other carts. It is so much easier to find our worth and value in places that your son called a pig or a dog. But instead, Lord, today we recognize that this is not the best way to live our lives. We want to live in a way that brings you glory, in a way where we love those who may not deserve it. They didn't earn it. But that's our story. We don't deserve your love. We couldn't earn your love. So help each one of us love in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen.